Okay, I would like to dedicate the class to the Refuah Shleima of a newborn baby that was born not breathing and is going for a procedure today. Her name is Yakira Emuna Bat Dina Bracha. If you want to say tell him for her after. Yakira Emuna Bat Dina Bracha. Sure. Okay, so we are in the middle of a series of classes answering the question of why was the Torah divided into five chumashim. It could have been one chumash, right, that includes all five sforim. Why is it divided into Bereshit, Shmot, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Dvarim? Obviously, nothing in the Torah is accidental, and it indicates to us that each sefer has its own uniqueness, one theme that connects all the things in the sefer, to be one thing. We discuss Bereshis and we discuss Shmot. I'll repeat very briefly what Bereshis and Shmot are all about, just to connect it to what we are discussing today. What is the book of Vayikra about? So we said Chumash Bereshit is Chumash HaYetzira, Abriah, the book of creation, but not just the physical creation, also creating the kernel spiritually of whatever is necessary in order to create the world. What is creating the foundation of the Jewish nation, the root of the Jewish nation, Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and the 12 tribes, and eventually the 70 people from the family of Yaakov, were like the nucleus that ensured that the world will come to purpose after the whole world declined to be part of it. So that's the first book. So it's a creation on the physical level and a creation of the spiritual level. Of course, it's very brief, but just to connect, and if you want to know more about it, if you weren't here, it's on our website. The second book, Shmot, is the trees that grew out of this root. It's the creation of the Jewish nation, and it's called the book of Galut and Geula. We defined Galut not just as a physical thing, being out of the land of Israel, but as a spiritual thing as well, not being where one is supposed to be. The book of Shmot starts to prepare the Jewish nation so they'll be able to be wherever they have to be. The exile in Mitzrayim prepared the Jewish people for the receiving of the Torah. As we know, right after the receiving of the Torah, there was the golden calf, and it was corrected by the tshuva of the Jewish people and eventually by the building of the Mishkan. The end of the book of Shmot tells us, the last few psukim, that Hashem dwelled in the Mishkan, and it was so filled, so to speak, with the presence of Hashem that Moshe could not even come in. And this is considered coming to the place where one is supposed to be, when the Jewish nation is supposed to be. And now we are ready to go ahead, go through history, and bring ourselves and the rest of mankind into the destination that the world was created for. And now we are starting the book of Vayikra. The book of Vayikra is very different than the first two Sfarim, while the first two Sfarim tell us about some historical events and some stories about Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the tribes, the Jewish people, but it's mainly stories, things that took place in their life, and obviously those are lessons. The book of Vayikra is mainly a book of mitzvot. It's a long, long list of mitzvot. There is a story here and there that sheds light on the mitzvot, and that's why they're there. Some stories, very few, shed light on a few mitzvot, and that's why they're in this sefer, but mainly the sefer is a sefer of mitzvot. Long, long list of mitzvot. The question is, what is the book all about, the sefer all about, right? What's the theme that connects all those mitzvot? Not all 613 mitzvot are in the book of Vayikra. There are some very few mitzvot in Bereshit and Shmot, but we know that there are many more mitzvot in Dvarim. Some of the mitzvot in Dvarim elaborate on things that were written before, mainly in Vayikra. But many new mitzvot are written in Dvarim. So what is unique to all the mitzvot, what connects all the mitzvot in Sefer of Vayikra to one Sefer, to something that is under the same umbrella, right, of the same theme? That's what we want to try to explore today. If you remember, The way we went about this topic was by looking at the Midrash that appears in Bereshit Rabbah in the story of creation, the creation of the first day. We know on the first day, or light was created, and the Torah mentions five times light in the story of the first day of creation. Hashem said, Yehi or, Vayehi or, Vayar Hashem et haor ki tov, Vayavdel Hashem bein haor levein hachoshech, Vayikra Elokim laor yom. So it's five times or, and the Midrash says it corresponds to the five chumashim. Each one of them corresponds to one of the chumashim and defines the chumash. It's five different expressions. By understanding the expression in the creation of the first day, we can understand what the chumash is all about. It's like saying there are five kinds of lights that are put into five chumashim that we can and should, you know, explore and reveal, right? And Vayikra is the third. So, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or is Sefer Bereshit, I'm not going into why, Vayehi Or is Sefer Shmot. What is Sefer Vayikra? Vayar Elokim et Haor Kitov. This is what the Midrash says. Vayar Elokim et Haor Kitov, ze Sefer Vayikra. Now, why is this Sefer Vayikra? Okay, so the Midrash says, Sefer Vayar Elokim et Haor Kitov, Keneged corresponds, Keneged Sefer Vayikra. It corresponds to the book of Vayikra. Why? What's the connection between Vayar Elokim et Haor Kitov and Sefer Vayikra? So what the Midrash says is, Male halachot rabot. Because the Sefer is full of halachot, mitzvot. So obviously we need an explanation here. What does it mean? So if you remember, we always send to Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, who explains the Midrash, who elaborates on the Midrash. It's only one sentence. And I'll just read it now and come back to it at the end. But let's get the definition. So Rav Tzadok HaKohen says, V'haynu, what it means is, it pashtut ha'or bechol ha'pratim. It's the expansion of light to all the details. Obviously, it needs an explanation. But that's what he says. It was tuta or lechol apratim. And we'll come back to it in Yirtzeh Hashem at the end of the class. Another way that we, in the past, defined the Chumash was by looking at the name of the Chumash. And as we saw in the past, each of the Chumashim has more than one name. Bereshit has Bereshit is one name, right? The common that we use, and Sefer Abriya. Shmot is Sefer Shmot, and Sefer HaGeula. Vayikra is also two names. Sefer Vayikra, one name. And the second name is Torat Kohanim. That's how Chazal call it. So it tells us something about the Sefer. These two names are a definition of what Chumash Vayikra is all about. So let's start with the one that is easier to understand, Torat Kohanim. And we'll go to the preface of the Ramban, to the Hagdama of the Ramban, to Chumash Vayikra. He explains that this is really what the Chumash is all about, obviously as the name indicates, but he gives us details and more elaborated explanation. So he says as follows. It's called Torat Kohanim. And it's mainly... Most of the Chumash are mitzvot that are connected to the Kohanim or to the Avodah, to the service in the Beit HaMikdash. Under the category of the service in the Beit HaMikdash, we'll have Tum'ah and Tahara, the laws of purity and impurity, because the person who is impure cannot come into the Beit HaMikdash. He has first to purify himself, so it's related. People who are impure, many, many of them, will become pure only by bringing offerings, korbanot. So again, it has to do with the Beit HaMikdash. So it connects, and I won't go into more details, most of the halachot in the Chumash to the Beit HaMikdash, to the Mishkan, to Kohanim. That's the Torah of Kohanim. He mentions that in Parashat Kedoshim we have mitzvot that relate to Klal Yisrael too. And he doesn't explain why, but others for him do relate to it, and we'll come to it in Irtz Hashem soon. But mainly it's Torat Kohanim. He compares the Mishkan to Har Sinai. If we think about it, what was Har Sinai? A place of the dwelling of the divine, right? This is what the Mishkan was. And in a way, there is something greater in the Mishkan than what was in Har Sinai. Because Har Sinai was a one-day thing, one-time thing, while the Mishkan was ongoing. And even though we don't have it now, we know that the place of the Beit HaMikdash is holy. Even today, we cannot go up to the Har Habayit, right, to the place of the Beit HaMikdash. The Kedusha is there still today, right? And it will come back in its full glory when Mashiach comes, right? So it's even greater in a way than Har Sinai. And it shows that there are parallels in the halachot that related to Har Sinai on the day of the giving of the Torah, and the halachot that have to do with the Mishkan. Like Hashem warned people not to get close to Har Sinai. And he said, whoever will come close will die, right? Be careful not to touch it. The same we have in the Mishkan. Not everybody can come in. Only the Kohen Gadol can come into the Kodesh Kodashim once a year. Only Kohanim can come to the Heichal. And only pure Klal Yisrael can come all together. And this includes Kohanim, Leviim, everybody. Only when they are in the status of Tahara, of purity, can they come into Har Sinai. What means there is a special way that we have to treat a place that the presence of Hashem is there in a very intense way, that we can experience it in a very intense way. Of course, Hashem is all over, but over there, we are given the ability to be there. So that's the explanation of the Ramban, and it's quite clear. Torat Kohanim, it really covers a big part of the Chumash, to the extent that we can say that's the topic. We remain with the question of Parashat Kedoshim b'Sam Mitzvot, but after all, it's a small part of the Chumash. It covers most of it. What is harder is the name Vayikra. Why is this a definition to the whole Chumash? The Chumash starts Vayikra Elav Leimor, right? Hashem called Moshe, right? So Vayikra, it's a technical thing. What does it have to do with the essence of the Chumash? So, in order to explain it, I want to go to the first pasuk in Chumash Vayikra and see what's written there. How do Meforshim explain the Vayikra? Maybe if we go into Meforshim of this pasuk, where the word Vayikra appears, it will give us an answer to our question. So, Vayikra el Moshe. וידבר השם אליו מאוהל מועד למו. If we look into this pasuk, it's not the usual way that Hashem speaks, that the Torah tells us that Hashem spoke to Moshe. Usually it's, וידבר השם אל משה למו. Here there are two parts. ויקרא אל משה, that's one. And then, וידבר השם אליו מאוהל מועד למו. Why the two parts? Right? It should have been, Vayikra Hashem El Moshe, Vayidaber Elav. Right? If we want the Vayikra. Right? But it says, Vayikra El Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem Elav Me'ol Moed. So Rashi refers to it, of course. It's an obvious difficulty in the pasuk. And Rashi says as follows. Lechol divrot, ulechol amirot, ולכל ציוויים קדמה קריאה. The fact that Hashem called Moshe, the fact that is written here, that Hashem called Moshe, and then it's written Hashem spoke to him. This is the way that it was always. In every mitzvah, and every dibur, and every amira, each time that Hashem spoke to Moshe, if it was a dibur, an amira, or a tzivui, if Hashem spoke to him, told him something, or commanded him something, he always started with saying, Moshe, Moshe. And Moshe said, Ineni. And only then, Hashem said whatever he had to say. So we have to understand two things. Why did it start in this way? Why did Hashem have to say, Moshe, Moshe, and only then speak to him? And if... The Midrash says, Chazal says, okay? Now, and if it happened all the time, why is it written exactly here? There were already mitzvot given before, times that Hashem spoke to Moshe from the beginning of Shmot. It should have been written in the first place when Hashem spoke to him, and we should have been told, this will be the way all along. So we have two questions. Why is it important to start in this way? And second, even if we start in this way, if it's all over, why is it written here? So Rashi continues. Rashi says, Leshon Chiba. It shows closeness, love. Hashem loves Moshe, so he says, Moshe, Moshe. You know, mothers like to speak about their children, right? So he says their name constantly, constantly, constantly. Hashem loves us, we are his children. He approaches Moshe. First he says, Moshe, Moshe. A king who will speak to somebody will not start necessarily by the name, right? A father will be very glad to say the name over and over. Okay, let's go further. But Rashi adds, Lashon, this is the language, this is the way, שמלאכי השרת משתמשים בו. וקרא זה אל זה ואמר ויסיין קדושה. The מלאכים call each other before they praise Hashem. So we have the same term there, וקרא. Right? They call by name. שנאמר וקרא זה אל זה. It's a quotation from ישעיהו, פרק ו, right? Where we took, that's where it's taken from for קדושה. אבל, לנביאי אומות העולם, נגלה עליהם בלשון ארעי וטומאה. When Hashem appears to prophets who are not from the Jewish nation, בלעם, it's written, ויקר עליהם, ויקר אלוקים אל בלעם. ויקר, ויקר ויזווי ויקרא. Indicates another root. ויקרא is קוף ריש א'. ויקר comes from קוף ריש ה'. The word mikre comes from kufrei shei, meaning it happened to be that Hashem spoke to Bilam, but it's not the ongoing thing. As we know, prophecy is one of the things that usually is given to the Jewish nation only. One has to be on a specific level in order to be able to get prophecy. And from the time that the Jewish nation started, it became something that is unique to the Jewish people, and non-Jew can get it if he converts, right? And he becomes part of the Jewish nations and he's privy to it too. Not in our time and age, but whenever it's there, right? So, let's see what Rashi says. So Rashi says, Rashi answers one question. Rashi answers, why do we have, why are we told that Hashem said Moshe, Moshe, before he spoke to him? So it's in order to indicate closeness, love, a relationship, a close relationship. And it's unique to the Jewish people. It does not explain here why is it written here and not in other places, and we will have to go to other sources in order to see why is it written here. Okay? So, Ramban tells us the following. The Ramban gives another answer, explains something else on the Pasuk that answers the second question. Okay? He says as follows. Amar HaKatuf Kan, the Torah says here, Vayikra el Moshe vayidaber Hashem elav. Hashem called Moshe and then he spoke to him. Velo chen bishar hamekomot. And we don't find it in other places. בעבור שלא היה משה יכול לבוא אל אוהל מועד. How does ספר שמות end? The presence of Hashem fills the בית המקדש, the משכן. And the Torah says at the end of שמות, ולא יכול משה. כן? He was not able to come in. Why? Because the הנן filled the משכן. So he can't enter. So our Sefer starts with Vayikra Hashem el Moshe. Hashem invites him in and enables him to come in. So that's why it's written here, right? To connect Sefer Shmot, the end of Shmot, to the beginning of Vayikra. It's a continuation. The Mishkan was filled with the glory of Hashem. Moshe could not come in. Another Mefoshim like Rashbam, the Ibn Ezra bring it too. And the Ramban says the same happened when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beit HaMikdash. It's written there also that the Shechina filled up, the presence of Hashem filled up the Beit HaMikdash. There was no way to come in, and Hashem called Vayikra in order to be able to enable people to come in. And he says, stage number one, where it was filled with the presence of Hashem, and nobody could come in, was the way to sanctify the place. Meaning, Hashem showed such a revelation, right, that even Moshe, right, could not come in. From the next day and ahead, the presence was such that Moshe could come in and hear the words of the Torah written told to him from between the two krovim. He was not standing in Kodesh HaKodashim, he stood on the other side of the parochet, but he heard the words of Hashem via the krovim. Okay, so we got one answer. According to the Ramban, that's the pshat level. And that's why it's written, if you look, Vayikra el Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem elav. Connecting the elav to what's written before. Okay? Sorry. So, that's the Ramban, and that's the pshat level. But I want to go into other sources to elaborate on it and get the depths of what Rashi and Ramban tell us. So, the first place that I'm basing my class on, the continuation of the explanation, is the Sefer Or Gedalia by Reb Gedalia Shor. And he says as follows, there is a major difference between Sefer Shmot and Sefer Vayikra in terms of the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people. The dynamics of the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people. Let's look at the book of Shmot. It tells us about Mitzrayim and Klal Yisrael coming out of Mitzrayim. It tells us about the receiving of the Torah. It tells us about Chet HaEgel and the building of the Mishkan. That's, of course, ignoring many things in between, but in general. If we look at those things, there is a thread that connects them. Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim. They were supposed to be there for 400 years. But after 210 years, there was no way but to take them out. Otherwise, they would have been totally assimilated, and it would have been like starting from fresh. It would not be a redemption. It would be a new creation. And Hashem promised Avraham Avinu that his children will go out of Egypt, not that it will start from the beginning, right? So Hashem had to take them out. So it was chesed. Right? Hashem did it. It was true to his promise, of course. Right? And he took us out of Mitzrayim. Being that we were not prepared fully, when we came out of Mitzrayim, even though Hashem tested us on the way between Mitzrayim and Har Sinai, but it was only 39 days. And even though we elevated a lot in this period of time, but how much can you do in 39 days? And being that this was the case, we were not fully ready for the giving of the Torah. But the world could not continue without it, and the Jewish people could not continue without it. It had to happen, ready or not ready. Of course, we were ready to an extent. We never were on this level before or after, right, as a nation, right? But it was not the full accomplishment that we had to achieve. And as a result of it, 40 days later, there was Chet HaEgel, right? Being that there was a chet, there was a need to correct and to give the ability to continue, and this was the Mishkan. When Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai after the last set of 40 days that he was in Shamayim and Hashem forgave, he gave the second Luchot, and Moshe came and said, Hashem commanded to build the Mishkan, meaning I'm ready again to dwell in the midst of you. But the thread all over is that it was chesed. Or what we call itra'uta dile'eila. Hashem initiated Hashem gave something that we did not deserve. He awakened us. He helped us to go further. And we obviously responded. It's not that we were totally passive, of course, in the process. 210 years in Egypt were quite of an investment. And the tests that were between coming out of Mitzrayim and Matan Torah were quite difficult. There was no water, Amalek came, and so on, right? Quite a few tests, Yam Suf, right? The Egyptians behind them, the sea in front of them, but still not enough to be able to really deserve the giving of the Torah fully and completely. If we would have been ready fully, so the giving of the Torah would be the beginning of Mashiach, right? But it wasn't. It wasn't, but Hashem in his kindness, in his rachamim, gave us an awakening and ways, practical ways, so we could start again, continue, and the Jewish nation was again on its mission. The Sefer of Vayikra tells us, what do we have to initiate? What do we have to do in order that the presence of Hashem will be in the midst of us? Yes, Hashem helped us in the beginning, the same way that a parent in the childhood of his children does a lot of things for the children. They are not yet fully independent, and there are things that eventually they are supposed to do on their own that they will be helped with. If we think about a parent teaching a child to walk, in the beginning he holds his hands, right, and he walks him. And then he lifts him for a second. Slowly, slowly, the child learns how to walk by itself. So Chumash Mot, Hashem is helping. It's the beginning of the Jewish nation. It's the childhood of the Jewish nation. And Hashem is helping. But obviously, the ultimate goal is that we will be able to accomplish it. We were created in order that we will do. Right? So Chumash Vayikra tells us, and that's the common thread of all of Chumash Vayikra. The common thread of all of Chumash Vayikra is that Hashem is calling us to come to him. Now we have to do it. Up till now, he did initiate. Now he's calling upon us and says, here is what you have to do. You have to initiate. I'll give you instructions. You have a menu. But the initiative has to come from you. But he says the following, and it's very, very beautiful. I want to read and translate. He says as follows. Kemo she'akadosh baruch hu kara le'moshe, the same way that Hashem called Moshe, le'ha'aloto, the very fact that Hashem says Moshe, Moshe, created a connection, a closer connection between Hashem and Moshe. Moshe was elevated by this call. And this enabled him to come to Oel Moed. It was not just Hashem changed the level, so to speak, of presence in the place. No, it was elevating Moshe to be able to take this level of holiness. Ken yesh kriya me'akadosh baruch hu lechol ish Yisrael. This is not only for Moshe Rabbeinu. What does Rashi say? Lechol dibur, lechol amira, lechol mitzvah. Every time that Moshe speaks to the Jewish people, every time that he tells them something, every time that he commands them something in the name of Hashem, it's a call from Hashem. You should do the job. And I'll be with you. I'll elevate you. Okay? In order that we'll be able to absorb the light of Torah. Why do we need it? Why do we need a call? We said, Hashem already initiated in the Sefer of Shmot. Now it's our job to do it. So why the call from Hashem? So he explains something very beautifully. He says, Ki be'etzem rechokim anu me'od mehasagat ha-Torah. Torah is godly. The mitzvot are godly. We are mortal human beings, flesh and blood. It's way above us. in order to be able to absorb what Torah, what mitzvot have in them that we can access, we need godly help. We need that Hashem will call us. We will do the work. But it's so wonderful, so godly, so above what we can access here, that without the help of Hashem, it cannot be. Because the Torah is Esh Chora al Gabei Esh Levana. The Torah is described by Chazal as Esh Shchora, black fire, on top of white fire. We don't understand what it is on our level, but what we do know is that it's something that we don't understand, that is beyond our capacity, right? And being that it's so, we need the help of Hashem. And he continues. He says, ואף אם מצד הנשמה קרובים אנחנו, if we look at our neshome, the neshome can observe it. From the point of view of the neshome, speaking about our spiritual aspect, it's ready for it. Neshama שנתת בי תאוריי. It's a godly spark, right? It's צלם אלוקים. צלם אלוקים can grasp godliness, can grasp the Torah. אבל ענייני הגוף מסתירים ומרחיקים אותנו מללכת אחר הקדוש ברוך הוא. But we have another part to us. And this is the body. And the body can block the ability of the soul to connect to Hashem. Can be a barrier between us and the understanding of Torah, between us and the light that is in all mitzvot. Ner mitzvah, the mitzvot are a light. Our candles, the Torah, oh, the Torah is the light. If you have a barrier between yourself and the light, it doesn't matter how much light there is there, we'll not see it, right? So being that we have a body, the body can block it. ולכן, יש קריאה מהקדוש ברוך הוא. And that's why Hashem calls us. Meaning, it won't happen naturally that we will access Torah and mitzvot. What do I mean by saying it? By the very fact that I have five senses, these five senses call me to get involved in physicality without me doing anything. By the very fact that I have open eyes and I go through the street, it speaks to me, it calls me. By the very fact that I hear, even if I didn't turn on what I hear, but I pass by, and I hear, and it affects, and it calls me to get involved in what I shouldn't. This is not the case in spirituality. Because if it would have been, we would have not had free choice. Because who would go after falsehood if he's very drawn to spirituality, and spirituality is the truth, and being indulged in physicality is not, right? So obviously, in order to have free choice, it has to be balanced. So he says, והקריאה היא על ידי המצוות. How am I called to access the light of Torah, to access godliness, to let the Shechina rest in me, because I can be a Beit HaMikdash too. Through the מצוות, why? כי הן שלוחי הקדוש ברוך הוא. Every מצווה is a messenger of Hashem. לרומם את האדם, to elevate the human being, מתוך שפלותו, from its lowliness, ולקרבו לקדוש ברוך הוא, and to connect him to Hashem. So, the same way that by Moshe, there was a Mishkan, full of light, full of the presence of Hashem, but initially, he could not come in. Hashem called upon him, elevated him, and then he was able to come in. The same thing is with every one of us forever. And that's why the book is called Vayikra, because it's the book of mitzvot. It's the book that tells me how I can enter into the place where the divine is revealed. How could I become a Beit HaMikdash? Every mitzvah is a messenger of Hashem. ועל ידי עשיית המצוות, נעשה אדם כלי שראוי לשרות עליו השכינה. Via doing the mitzvot, I become a clay, a vessel, that the divine can rest upon. ושיוכל להיכנס בתוך הענן. Now it's very interesting. At the end of Shmot, אין אין מלוכים by שלמה המלך, when the Beit HaMikdash was built, the Torah says, כי מלא הענן את המשכן. שלמה המלך said תפילה, the inauguration of the בית המקדש, אני said, השם אמר לשכון בערפל. ערפל is like a cloud, right? It's a fog. Meaning in other words, in this world השם is hidden. Spirituality is not given free of charge. השם might initiate something, right? Awaken us to do it, but the work has to be done by us. But every one of us, even at the time of Golus, outside of Eretz Yisrael today, in this low generation that we are at, we can have a Beis HaMikdash inside us if we elevate ourselves via the mitzvot. And we are able, he says, legalot et amkut ha-Torah, we are able to reveal the depths of Torah, not just the superficial level, ולקלוט ההלכה במוחו ובתבונתו, and to absorb the laws in our brain and in our תבונה. תבונה indicates more internalizing, not just in our brain, but in our brain and in our heart. So, we can come back to the definition of Reb Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin of Chumash Vayikra, the Midrash and the explanation of Reb Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin. What does the Midrash say? This is Sefer, Vayar Elokim et Haor Ki Tov. Zehu Sefer Vayikra, sheyesh bo halachot rabot. There is a light. But when is it good? When can I say the light is good? When I have access to it. When it serves the purpose. When it's absorbed, right? Because I let it come in. So in this book, we have halachot rabot. We have many, many laws. Each mitzvah. Enabling us to get closer and closer to Hashem and bring the light of Torah and mitzvos into ourselves. What does Rav Tzadok HaKohen add to it? He says, Lehavi et haor lechol hapratim. Our job is to bring the light of Hashem to every detail, everything that was created. Was created because it has the ability to bring light, to bring godliness into this world. And this is true for the inanimate things, for vegetation, for animals, for human beings for sure. If I look at a sunset, which is an inanimate thing, and it's fascinating, and I say, Ma rabu ma'asecha Hashem, how wonderful is your creation? I bring godliness through the inanimate, right? So, here is one way. And there are endless ways of the inanimate could bring godliness into this world. There is a beautiful Or HaChaim HaKodesh who explains why the world is a circle, a ball. Just looking into something like this. Here is the universe, the inanimate, right? And he says something amazing. He says the presence of Hashem, and he bases it on Psukim, is around the world and inside the world. Melo kol haaretz kvodo, that's inside, right? And Hashem is also around the world. Each part of earth desires to be close to Hashem. Eretz, Chazal say, sheratzta la'asot retzon kona. Even the inanimate has godliness in it. And being that it has godliness on its level, of course, not like godliness by a human being, but even earth, even the inanimate is godliness. Today we can relate to it. We know what happens in everything, right? How much energy and movement there is in every atom, right? So, Eretz ratzta la'asot kona, meaning it wants to be close to Hashem. In a circle, all the dots are equally close to the middle and to what's around. And he says this gives stability to this world. If it would have not been a circle, there would have been places that are closer to Hashem than the others, it wouldn't be attached. Those who are closer will separate and go to be closer to Hashem. We wouldn't have stability. So here is the inanimate feeling the purpose of bringing Hashem into the picture. You learn this Or HaChaim, you're fascinated, right? And you see the greatness of Torah, the greatness of mitzvahs. Obviously, all the other things alike. Everything that exists can bring godliness into it. And the Torah directs us how to do it. There is no aspect of life that is not connected to mitzvot. Chazal said, you build a house. You have to make sure there is a railing on the roof, a mezuzah on the door. You have a child, you have to circumcise him. You have a field, how many mitzvot are connected to a field? Even if you walk on the street and you see a ken tzipor, you see a nest of a bird nesting on the eggs, you have another mitzvah, right? There is no aspect of life that is not connected to mitzvot. And it's via those mitzvot that we really bring the light of Hashem into this world. And in this way we connect to Him. What is the purpose? Because the purpose is really dvekut in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, this will explain to us also what we did not explain yet in the Ramban. The Ramban goes through all the mitzvot in the Sefer, and he says in Parashat Kedoshim there are also mitzvot of Klal Yisrael, not only of Kohanim. How does Parashat Kedoshim starts? Kedoshim tiyu, ki kadosh ani Hashem. Be holy because I'm holy. And this parsha was said be'akhel. Moshe gathered all of Klal Yisrael, what was not usually the case. Usually, he spoke to Aaron, then the children of Aaron came, the Skenim came, then Moshe left, Aaron started to teach. Eventually, it got to Klal Yisrael. Everyone heard it a few times, but Moshe did not gather all of Klal Yisrael, men, women, children, right, in order to teach it to them. Here, he gathered everybody in order to teach them Kedoshim Tiyu. Why? Because we are Mamlechet Kohanim v'Goy Kadosh. The potential is in us as well. And Chumash Vayikra teaches us how to do it. And even the obligations of the Kohanim relate to us too, and later on, Yirtzeh Hashem, in the coming classes, we'll go through main topics in the Chumash, and we'll show how it relates to all of us, not only to Kohanim, okay? So the Chumash of Vayikra is a call to... Be holy, right? I want to show it to you also via the explanation of the Sfornos that will also go through his preface to Vayikra, which is very short, but obviously, as usual, very, very profound. And he says the following. First, what he says in his Akdama, and then we'll go to a specific Pasuk in the Chumash, very elaborates on it. So what does the Sforno say? The Sforno says the third sefer, Vayikra, is lekiyum shchinato betocham. The Shechina rested upon the Beit HaMikdash, the Mishkan, at the end of Shmot. This sefer teaches me how to maintain it. We reach the Mi'ale Be'ar Hashem. We got to a peak. But how do you maintain it? The maintenance is much more difficult than a one-time elevation. And he says, Korbanot, what is the first topic and the main topic in the Sefer, arver leasir et ra'at chatat ha-tzibur. It's a way of atonement. Right? If we failed, we have a way to come back. Tum'a, and we'll soon say more about it, he says, ra'a letaken mizgam, שיהיה מוכן לאור באור החיים הנצחיים. The purpose is not just that here, while we are alive physically, we will be connected to Hashem, but we have to achieve here eternal life, right? So by getting rid of impurity, we will be able to achieve it. We'll have an access la'or be'orach chayim. We have an access to the light of Hashem for eternity. Moadim, another topic in the Chumash, are the chagim. So the Ramban says the moadim are here because in the chagim we have to bring special offerings. He connects it to the korbanot, which is obviously one reason. But there is another reason, he says. Yamim meyuchadim le'avodat Hashem. This is a special opportunity to connect. Hashem enables us there to connect more than other times. Eretz Yisrael. A lot is discussed about mitzvot that have to do with Eretz Yisrael because that's the place that it's the easiest to connect to Hashem. The blessings that we are promised if we'll be in Eretz Yisrael and do the will of Hashem will give us the opportunity to be available, to dedicate ourselves to spirituality, to the service of Hashem, because we won't be busy with our problems. We'll have all the blessings. And the bracha and klala at the end, as we know, Chumash Vayikra ends with the brachot and klalot, blessings if we'll do the will of Hashem, and curses if we won't. They will bring us back to Hashem if we fail. And at the end, the Torah promises that we will come back to Hashem. And he says, that's the tikva after the yeush. That's the hope after the discouragement. If you remember, we brought the Sforno in Bereshit and Shmot, and we said that the Sforno says that all chamisha chumshei Torah are divided in this particular way. Because each chumash starts in a nice place, but later on we see a decline. First man in Gan Eden, and then Chet Adam HaRishon, Cain and Abel, Dor Enosh, Dor HaMabul, Dor HaAflaga. But it ends with 70 people of Klal Yisrael. 70 pure people ready to go ahead and fulfill the mission. Shmot starts with Mitzrayim. Very bad, very difficult, but it ends with Hashem filling up the Mishkan. Vayikra starts with a call, come to me, says Hashem. I am calling you, beautiful, but it's not so simple. There are curses on the way. Look at our history. But achar yeush tikva, if we look at the end of parashat haklalot, ve'af gam zot biotam beretz oyveim, lo me'astim ve'lo ge'altim lechalotam. I'm not giving up of you. This will bring you back to me and eventually will come to wherever we have to be. So it's tikva acharei yeush. So we are given a manual, but we are also given the ways to deal with failure. That's true for the korbanot. Hopefully the korbanot will be only neder and nedava, what we volunteer to bring. But as we know, there are also korbanot if we failed. There are ways to come back. And the same, we might become impure, but there are ways to become pure. And so on all along. We might end up in exile, as we do, right? But there will be the redemption at the end. So it's a kriya shel chiba. Hashem says what only a parent will say to a child. A parent can be rebellious. He can act out. He can totally sever the relationship with the parent. But the moment he'll come back, if it's a parent, they'll accept. They'll accept. That's the nature of the relationship. And that's the nature of the relationship between us and between Hashem. So let's see what the Sforno says on the pasuk that speaks about kosher and non-kosher animals. It's Perek Yudalef, pasuk bet, I think. Yeah, Perek Yudalef Pasuk Bet. So it says as follows. It's written, Dabru el bnei Yisrael leimor. And it's a second time leimor. In the beginning it's written, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aaron leimor aleim. And Pasuk Bet says again, Dabru el bnei Yisrael leimor. What is the two times Dabru leimor? So it says as follows. Od itva'er em אומרו לאמור אליהם, לפי מה שפירשתי במקומות אחרים. כי טעם אמרו לאמור, the reason why he says לאמור, כי הדיבור היוצא מפי כל עליון. No. Where is it? Just a second. It says a few things and I have to know which one is the right one. Okay, I think this it is. Maybe it's before. Let me see. Pasuk Beis. No, I marked it here. Ah, here it is. Okay. Zot achaya asher tochlu. Okay, there are two sides to the page and I mixed between the two. This is the animals that you will eat. Inei. אחר שהתנצלו ישראל את הדיים הרוחני שקנו במתן תורה. After the Jewish people lost the crowns that they got at מתן תורה, at the golden calf, אשר בו היו ראויים לשרות שכינה עליהם בלתי אמצעי. In our Sinai, they were able to have the divine rest upon them without any interference, without any intermediary. Okay? כאומרו, בכל המקום אשר אזכיר את שמי, אבוא אליך וברכתיך. The pasuk says, wherever you are, I'll come and I'll be with you. כמו שיהיה העניין לעתיד לבוא. The same as it will be after the resurrection of the dead. As it's written about the resurrection of the dead. ונתתי משכני בתוכם. I'll dwell in the midst of them. And Rashi says, I'll walk with you like I walked with Adam Harishon בגן עדן. Even though I walked with him, he was able to stay erect and did not fall on his face. He felt comfortable in the presence of Hashem. And Rashi says he doesn't mean to say that he didn't feel the awesomeness, but he was able to absorb it. This will be when Mashiach comes after the resurrection of the dead. And this is what was at Har Sinai. But after we lost it, he says the following. It's written, ולא תגאל נפשי אתכם. I will not be disgusted with you. מאס הקל יתברך אחר כך, מהשות עוד שכינתו ביניהם כלל, באומרו כי לא אלה בקרבך. השם said, after the golden calf, I will not come with you to ארץ ישראל. Right? והשיב משה רבינו בתפילתו, משה רבינו השיג, reached, via his תפילה, שתשרה השכינה באמצעות משכן וקהיליו ומשרתיו. What Moshe Rabbeinu achieved was that it won't be like before, but it will be via the משכן and the קהילים. וזבחה ואין דה קורבנות, עד שישיגו וזכו אל וירא כבוד השם אל כל העם. This was an in-between stage, till the Jewish people were ready to the presence of Hashem at the time of the inauguration, okay? And he says, ובכן, ראה לתקן מסגם. So in this sefer, he made sure to purify them, to purify their midos, their inner essence, so they'll be able to stand with it and get the eternal life. I want to add another point in the few minutes that we have, also from Reb Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, in the Sefer Pri Tzadik on the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, where he explains the Vayikra in another beautiful way that applies to all of us till today. And he says as follows. Vayikra el Moshe was at the time of the generation of the Midbar. But he says, Ach be'emet, but we know in truth, that kol divrei Torah nitzchiim hem. It's not only for this generation. It's for all generations, every one of us, Hashem is calling upon us. Okay? What does it mean? He says, what Hashem is calling us to do is to prepare before we do mitzvot. Let's go back to the pasuk. Vayikra Hashem el Moshe, and only then vayidaber elav, and we have the list of mitzvot. So there are two stages. First, Hashem calls upon us, and then we are told what to do. What is the Vayikra? The Vayikra is a call to prepare Before we hear the mitzvah and its details and are going to do it. And this is really what will determine to what extent we will get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu via doing of mitzvot. Obviously, everybody who keeps Torah does mitzvot. There are people that are in the presence of Hashem moment by moment that are really there fully. And there are people who do the mitzvot and do the mitzvot, right? But in terms of the relationship to Hashem, the closeness is minimal or limited, right? So he says it's because of the hachana. Okay? Now let's go further. הקריאה וההכנה הוא גם כן מצד השם יתברך. It starts with Hashem calling upon us to prepare. Now, I don't hear the voice. Today, I don't have prophecy. What does it mean? So he says, שנותן חשק בלב ישראל. It creates an awakening in my heart to do something good, to improve, to do tshuva, to do better. Each time that I feel this in me, it's Hashem awakening me. And he goes further, and it's so beautiful, because he says, "Inyan kriat shmo u'itorerut ha-nefesh." To call somebody by name is to awaken his soul. And he brings a proof that is beautiful. As it's written in the writings of the Arizal, שקריאת שמו של האדם הוא שורש נפש חיה שלו. The name is a definition of the essence of the human being. It's not by an accident that our parents call us whatever they call. It's written that there is something of prophecy. Of course, not in the way that Hashem speaks to us, but there is an awakening inside the human being, the parent, to call his name, the child, the name he calls him. ולכן הוא מקיץ מן השינה כשקוראים את שמו. Try it, a person is asleep. Talk to him, he might not get up. But if you call the name 2-3 times, he'll get up. Why? Because it touches its soul, its essence, and it awakens him. מפני שמתעורר בו הנפש חיה שלו. ומה גם כאשר השם יתברך קורא אותו. Obviously, when Hashem calls upon us, we get awakened. אז נתווסף בו באותה שעה חיות חדש להנפש משפע הקדושה. When Hashem calls our name, even though I don't hear להעליה, right? But Hashem awakens my heart. It means that קדושה is added to my soul. And this happens all the time to all of us, right? ובלשון כפול, and it's משה, משה, not just one time, because הוא עניין זרוז. Like Baparo, he got two dreams, right? Ishanot ha-chalom, to show that Hashem is bringing it soon. It shows ziruz. It makes us awakened and encourages us to go right away and do it. As it's written, Ishanot ha-chalom pa'amayim, ki nachon ha-davar, u'memaer ha-elokim la'asot. Ve'ze she'nilmad kan, and this is what we learn here, she'lechol dibrot tzarich kri'ah mitzad Hashem yitbarach, in order to do any mitzvah, we need an awakening from Hashem. Without him, we can't do anything. We are out of it. But we can hear and ignore. And we can hear and listen. ושאדם יאמר, הנני. That is what asks for me. Chazal says that after Hashem said, Moshe, Moshe, Moshe answered, הנני. And Rashi says, הנני means לשון זימון. I'm ready. Just tell me what you want. הכנה מצד האדם לקבל, שיהיה כלי מוכן ומוכשר להשראת הקדושה. This is what חומש ויקרא is all about. And that's why the חומש is called חומש ויקרא. Hashem is calling upon us all along, and we can become a place of the dwelling of the divine and should become, slowly, slowly, stage by stage, as much as we can, the place of the divine. And then all of us who know about Torah and mitzvot will do it. Obviously, Hashem will be also the Beit HaMikdash and will be able to do it there. Okay.